Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm kind of mixed on the Keon Coleman pick for the Bills because it sounds like they're going to use him as their X receiver, which I don't love. I think Keon is best deployed off the line in the slot. I've talked about that a lot this draft season. I just think Keon Coleman's kind of a low percentage X receiver. He's a guy that's going to win jump balls. He's not going to get a lot of separation. He is not Gabe Davis, very different player. He's a better separator than Gabe Davis. He's a better player against zone coverage. He works the middle of the field much better, has much more consistent hands than Gabe Davis. But from a vertical presence standpoint, that's just sort of like I see some low percentage overlap there. But I guess that just means that they have a lot more confidence this year in Samuel and Khalil Shakir being your separators and your layup targets.
Matt Harmon of Reception Perception, just reading through Mike Evans' scouting profile after Sal said someone he knows, friend of his that watches Florida State, says like, hey, think about Mike Evans, which I haven't heard that comparison too much, but basketball, physically dominant, young rookie. The weaknesses, here are the weaknesses on Mike Evans, okay? Mm-hmm. NFL.com prospect profile. Monotone mover with pedestrian speed, cannot separate vertically or pull away from the pack, unsudden acceleration, stiff hips. Will have to make a living in traffic at the next level. Will struggle to separate versus quick twitch NFL cornerbacks. Did not run a full route tree. Could require patience learning the nuances of refined route running. Backyard element to his college success. Must become savvier instead of depending on superior size and improvisational production. That's not that far off. That, again, that, those are the weaknesses on Mike Evans, who then came in and had 1,000 yards in every season he ever played.
Yeah.
And counting.
You know what's funny about Mike Evans? Did you know he also had 1,000 yards in both? He only played two college seasons. He had 1,000 yards in both of those also.
Oh, did he really?
Going back to high school, maybe he hasn't. That, by the way, is a key difference, though, between the two. That's not on the profile. Then the weaknesses. That is Coleman in 3 years of college had 1,500 yards, and Evans had 1,400 yards in his final season.
Yeah.
So the numbers were way higher for Evans.
Just watching highlights of Coleman, it is kind of funny because he doesn't have the elite speed, and you're going to hear knocks against agility, but he returned punts, and he was good at it.
He's got the, what'd you call it, the twitch, the quick twitch, maybe?
He makes
cuts.
They say he won't have that the ability to beat man or press coverage because he doesn't have that, but he can use it in other ways, and guys get open in other ways. A lot of the Coleman highlights, sure, you're getting contested catches. One thing you're getting with Coleman, and, you know, whatever, it's human nature, Joe, to compare a guy that you have with someone that you just did. Like, Gabe Davis did not have the best hands, right?
Right.
Davis was a good player, but unreliable hands. He would have some drops from time to time. Coleman's got great hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, very confident and strong, plucks the ball away from opponents. Like, there's a lot to like in that department. The red flag or whatever, the criticism is he doesn't He doesn't get open. He doesn't separate.
Yeah. Jeremy just tweeted in, I like this for Coleman. He doesn't do well against man press because he doesn't have the footwork for good releases, but he does have some twitch, so maybe that's something the Bills feel they can coach.
Yeah.
Is, hey, we see you move like this with the ball. We need to figure out how to get you to move like this without the ball.
Yeah. It is wild to think. You return punts, huh? And you're good at that.
Yeah.
So you should definitely be able to shake a defender.
Oh, go watch his punt return highlights. Like, they are, if you have not seen them yet, they are, like, he moves. You would think he's a guy that would get open all the time,
yeah,
watching his punt return, how he moves and shifts.
I also watched a little cut-up of all his highlights, or a two-minute video, and in the span of 2 minutes, he jumped over one guy, and then he also did Antonio Brown jumped up and kicked a punter in the face.
He did once, do that, yeah.
And Coleman has a highlight kind of like that. It's very Josh Allen on the sideline, just like jumping in the air, and like you're catching all of this knee defensive back.
Does he kind of run like Allen?
Maybe.
A little bit?
He runs like a bully. Like, yeah. He is hard to bring down. He breaks tackles. His yards after catch numbers are pretty good. So
They will throw screens to him this year.
Yes.
They absolutely will throw screens to him this year. And they'll throw jump balls to him this year.
Yes, they will.
That is a lot of that's a lot of what he did there. It was screen passes, and it was 50-50 balls. Like, that's maybe they'll coach up more of that. But I feel like that at the minimum is what he's going to be asked to do.
Yeah. Well, it's a hope, of course, that he can turn into something truly great for them. If he's just good and productive, that's a mission accomplished on its own. 803-0550 on the rest of the draft. If you want to chime in, the Bills added another running back, depth at linebacker.
Did not realize how old this running back was, by the way.
Yeah, drafting a 24-year-old running back.
He'll be 25 November 11th.
That is
so at the
wild.
End of next the playoffs next year, he'll be 25.
That is wild.
Yeah,
that's probably why he's a fourth rounder, right? Like, if he's 21, that's not a fourth round pick. 24 as a running back in the fourth round. Wow.
Yeah, he is. He's older. I think, is he older than James Cook? I think he might be older than James Cook.
Yeah. Now that the draft is over, you know, I think a lot of Bills fans had high expectations for what they would do, especially at receiver. I mean, we spent weeks talking about trading up to number 9 or trading up to 17 or 11 or double dipping. Double dipping might have been, I mean, the double dip was something that was, I want to say, universally popular. It's not spending too much. Like, all right, fine. Listen, we'll double dip. We'll grab one in the second and then maybe one later in the second. Or the third. No. Or the fourth. No. Okay, the fifth. No.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth.
Well,
no. Seventh. No.
Yeah.
There was no double dip.
No. Nope. And second round, I was wondering about it, but second round, There was kind of a middle ground there without many receivers. Like, the Bills picked at 60, and between Adonai Mitchell at 52, you had between there and 80, where only one receiver got taken. Malachi Corley went. So I was wondering if they would do it right away.
And Malachi Corley might have been overdrafted. Like, he was not supposed to go that high.
He went the first pick of round 3 to the Jets. And then you had Jermaine Burton, who I just never thought the Bills would take.
Nope.
I was surprised anyone took him that high, but double dip that early might have been tough. Like, I was wondering about Mitchell. I really was. It was middle of the second round. The Bills were like 10 picks away, and he was still there. And I was really, man, he's athletic. He's so athletic. Like, would they do it here? They might have some red flags. Do they have just red flags that would allow them to not take him in the first round? Would they take a shot on him in the second round? We'll never know, though, because he went 8 picks before that Bills second round pick.
803-0550. Back of the phones. We connect with our fans. You want to give us a thought on the Bills draft, on the player specifically, on their approach, and the team in transition. That's something we'll probably talk about, for months coming up as we approach training camp. But team in transition, words from Brandon Bean. Adam in Silver Creek is next up. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, guys. Happy Monday. Beautiful week this week. I hope you guys got some golf plans.
Yeah, let's hope. I'll try to.
Just in terms of how they started off the offseason, so I have an expression with my kids. You have people that say and you have people that do. Like, this is all talk all offseason. Their actions have completely been 180 of everything that they said they wanted to do. You want to get more explosive on offense? and this is what we do. Even the running back we got, you know, I mean, he's not an explosive running back. You know, he's a mauler. Like, he's an older guy, like you were saying. I mean, he's not going to come in and all of a sudden break the offense open. And I got to wonder how Joe Brady feels about all of this. You know, like, literally, your plan is Curtis Samuel and what? I mean, Kincaid, sure. But, like, none of this is about being explosive. So I'm so confused. Like, this is – if their point was to confuse the rest of the league, they're probably doing a great job of this. But I don't understand how we're going to become a more explosive offense. To be honest with you, if Rodgers stays healthy this year, we're probably – I don't even see how we win the division. I mean, your plan is to draft depth at safety in the second round, depth at linebacker in the third round. You guys are just saying there were more receivers to be had. You know, if you're trying to hit a bullseye on a dartboard, you want more than one dart. So, like, Keon Coleman is it, man. Like, that's their one dart this year. And if not, then we're screwed. I don't understand where the offense is going. I'm just as puzzled as everybody else. Thanks for my time, and I'll hang up.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. The way that I've been saying it is, I've wanted them to, I guess, chase the 13 seconds team and the best version of the Bills that we've ever seen. And they've been going where since then? Since 13 seconds. Their offense has still been good. Their offense has a built-in cheat code in the quarterback.
Yep.
I'm not here to say I don't want a 50-50 ball catcher. I guess I just wonder why that is such an appealing idea. Coleman, I want him for the other stuff. I want him for big body, for yards after catch, for the things he does well. You tell me he wins contested catches, which he does. He doesn't win those at some alarming rate. He's pretty good. But I've got one of the best quarterbacks in football. Who should be throwing 50-50 balls? The bad quarterbacks.
Right.
The good ones, I want firing laser beams down the field to receivers that have gained 5 yards of separation because they're uncoverable. And that's been, at least for me, what I would hope the Bills would want to do. In trading Stephon Diggs, you didn't get a lot from him in the second half of the season, and maybe his numbers and his time is about to run out. But for 3 years, three solid years and then a half of this year, the Bills had one of the best separators in the NFL, and it worked greatly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe Curtis Samuel's going to go and take on that role. Okay.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of people that think Curtis Samuel is a really good receiver waiting to break out. And I think there's a really good chance that with the Bills that could happen. So if they find their way to a receiving core that's better than last year's by getting Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and Mac Hollins, then Brandon Bean is the GM of the year because they've not invested a lot at receiver at all. That's really what this comes down to. They invested a second-round pick, which, saying nothing of Coleman or his success, it feels like we went to the draft weekend and they came out of it investing the least they could have gotten away with. They couldn't have just done just a third. A third would have been, look, you said Malachi Corley went in the first and the third.
First pick of the third.
And then there was a big gap for more receivers.
Yep.
If they had waited to the third, they'd have been getting, I mean, so much flack, and I'm not sure they have to care about that, but
oh, it meant it would how it would have gone. It would have been Malachi Corley or Roman Wilson, who's a slot guy.
Yeah,
like Jalen McMillan. Like it would not have been convincing in any way. It wouldn't have been enough.
And we'll see what Coleman can do on the outside versus power slot, which might be where his best fit is. But this is the least they could reasonably have done.
Yeah,
at the position, and right afterwards, it's about, you know, Bean talking about Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter, and if those two or one of those guys, if KJ Hamler or Justin Shorter pops and is great, well, then the Bills will deserve a lot of credit. It is quite the gamble with a superstar quarterback, though, to gamble. They've seen almost nothing of Justin Shorter. He played his college ball. He's a fifth-round pick. He was effectively redshirted with the Bills, and they wouldn't have seen that much.
Uh-huh.
So if he pops for them, that's great. They'll deserve lots of credit. But the whole thing seems like a gamble and seems like their receiver room, which for 2 years has needed help, in a best-case scenario, it's about where it was. It's hard to envision this group being better than the group they just had. Because Shakir's a wash.
Is it more explosive, though? Like, to the caller's point about where they were at. Like, I just made the commentary last hour about how they don't have a guy that can win at that deeper level of the field. They don't have a downfield threat right now. And someone tweeted at me, like, well, who's been their downfield threat the last couple of years? And last year, I think that's true. Last year, I think they looked limited, and the reason they talked about needing explosive plays at the end of the season is because they didn't have it. But why didn't they have it? Their two receivers kind of stopped doing it. Davis was good at it. Until really last year, Davis was good at it. And Diggs was good at it. One thing that Matt Harmon pointed out about his profile, where it saw the biggest drop-off from elite level, one of the best receivers in football, to, no, just still a good number one, but not quite in the conversation as the best in the sport. What happened to Diggs? Nothing between 0 and 15 yards. Everything was down the field. So Diggs maybe took a step back down the field. Davis didn't have as much of an impact down the field. So where are they at now? Is Samuel more explosive than what they had? Is Coleman more explosive even? Really, maybe what they have done is when they said, we want to get more explosive plays, what they have found themselves getting to is, well, we're not going to be explosive by, you know, DeSean Jackson running by you. We're going to be explosive by Allen's going to throw a 5-yard pass, and then that guy's going to take it for 40. That's the offense they're going to try to be now. They're going to try to be, you know, then they're going to be a version, try to be a version of the Niners. Maybe.
Maybe.
That's what that sounds like, isn't it?
Short throws and yards after catch.
That's our way of being explosive. We got 4 or 5 guys that are dangerous with the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to do it.
Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron.
Good morning, guys. And I know you guys are excited about today's weather. So, you know, I'm listening, you know, they drafted this Coleman, and I'm not, like I said, a big draft guy. But it looks like 2 years ago, he had, like, that 4th highest catch percentage as far as contested catches and a 60%. And then last year seemed to drop to 33%, so this where you get your whatever 50%. Why do you guys think the big drop off like that? Was it just because better defenders are watching him now, or switching schools, or whatever it was? And a second question I wanted to ask real quick: do you think the Bills are actually done though? I mean, it's only April. Don't you think there's a trade still going to be there? A surprise? Bean has to have something up his sleeve. I just can't believe this is the team we're going to 2024 with. So. And I'll hang up and listen. Have a great day. Enjoy golf, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. I don't know what there is to be up the sleeve. The free agent receivers, I'll tell you who my bet is. You want my bet?
Mm-hmm.
MVS. Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Mm-hmm.
There's your, if you're going to, but even then, the receiver room, is it full? They don't carry that many receivers. They haven't.
Well, who?
Think of the last couple years. The last couple years, the depth has been immediate. It's last year, it's Diggs, Davis, and right away, Sherfield is the next guy off on boundary receivers. The year before, Kumerow's the first man up.
He started week, what was that Titans game, week 2?
Yeah.
He had to start because they had an injury.
Beasley and Brown off the street. Like, this is a team that I want to say they don't give themselves really big receiver rooms. That's why Isaiah Hodgins left, because he was claimed off the practice squad by the Giants. And I'm not sitting here crying for Isaiah Hodgins, but if you want to tell me they're going to bring somebody in, who leaves? Tyrell Shavers, Justin Shorter, I guess that's possible.
Well, how many receivers right now are like locks to make the team? Samuel's going to make the team, Coleman's going to make the team, Shakir. Is Hollins a lock at the moment, right?
I mean, he's cheap.
And then is that it? That's it, right? That's 4. They're not going to keep 4. They're going to keep, even if they don't keep a lot, 5 or 6 at minimum.
But even last year, they got away with not having to roster Justin Shorter.
Right.
So if he makes the roster, the guy you want to sign, if it's MVS or if it's DJ Chark, who's bad, like I think a lot of people might expect Bean to have something up his sleeve. I just don't know where it would come from. The Aiyuk trade, I would expect him to get maybe traded and somewhere else, not here. If he comes here, that's great. All of a sudden, I'm flush because I add a number one, a true number one. But
I did find a clip, by the way, immediately after the Diggs trade where Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack said there was a way they could do it. that it's not off the table for them. They could do the Ayuk trade, but if they really
need to create enough space first.
Yep.
Then make the trade. Now, is it more likely after the draft? Because now, if you're talking to the Niners, you can give them next year's first if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You also have 2 seconds. The Bills have a good number of picks next year.
Maybe this year's not likely. That's where I get to, though. It's just they have picks. They're going to have more money next year. And if this season comes without another receiver move or even something like an MVS move, and it goes what might be the most realistic outcome, which is Coleman doesn't get open, and Samuel is good, but he is not a number one wide receiver. Shakir is really good, but he's a slot guy. And your other veteran boundary guys like MVS, if you sign him, or Mac Hollins are just not guys you ever want to count on. What's going to happen? We're going to be here in the exact same spot a year from now. Bean will be in a spot a year from now where he looks at that and goes, we're not good enough at wide receiver. We didn't have a number one. Now I've got the tools, though, to go get one that I didn't have a year ago.
There's something to be said for, like, how many changes they made on offense and defense. This will be a poll tomorrow. Which unit are you convinced is good? They've both been good. Right? The offense has been good, even when we're mad about it. It's still pretty good. And that's in large part due to Josh Allen being amazing.
Allen can't have it be
right.
Bad.
If you had Josh Allen, you finished 13th offensively. Like, you've got to go. That's a.
It's almost the equivalent of finishing 30th.
Yes, right.
Because it's hard to do.
There's
worse
no
than that.
World in which the Bills' offense should finish 13th ever with Josh Allen as your quarterback. If they do, then it's what's going on with the coordinator? What kind of weapons do we have? There's no way we should be outside of the top five at any point. Defensively, what do you expect? Defensively is where they're going through a lot of changes. The entire secondary, basically, right? And yet, I'm sitting here today telling you I have full faith in McDermott because, I mean, he's not quite Josh Allen on that side of the ball, but McDermott puts together good defenses. I think they'll be fine. They got a lot of talent over there. They now have the depth that they need. And if we get to another season where it ends and we're looking at receiver or looking at weapons again, you want to talk about getting phone calls about insanity and hitting your head against the ceiling, like, well, why can't they get by these teams? One of the reasons I loved the trade-up, which, you know, didn't happen, was Matt Miller was NFL draft scout on Twitter. He was like one of the first people, only people I've seen on the national side say this. Why wouldn't you trade up for this awesome receiver? You're trying to beat the Chiefs and go in on offense. And finally somebody said, go in on offense. And what the Bills have done with their offense this year, it's confusing is not it. It's just very much to be determined for me, Joe. Like, I don't know what Joe Brady's offense looks like. And we're going to find out.
Right.
Motion in the back. A lot of motion.
There was
right?
a lot of motion when he stepped
they
in.
Introduced a lot of motion.
Yeah.
What does it look like with a full season of building that in? What does it look like with, you know, Curtis Samuel motioning out of the backfield? Have I got Keon Coleman in the slot as a big slot? Is he, you know, matched up against somebody that he can out-muscle for the ball because of where he is or whatever? Like, there's a lot still to be determined.
What does it look like now that Kincaid's not a rookie anymore? Because he's probably going to be what everything is built around. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Him going into year two, full offseason, not a rookie anymore, got his feet wet. He got comfortable as the season went on and started to get some bigger numbers. Like, he is probably, again, like with the absence of the big trade-up that they didn't do on Thursday, maybe weren't able to, and the absence of a second receiver that they could have double-dipped on or an Ayuk trade or something along those lines, this offense is going through Dalton Kincaid this year. Right?
Yeah.
Their receiver room kind of, I think, warrants that. That your tight end is, like, that's the most optimistic I can be, is your tight end's one of the best in football. And now everything's about to funnel through him.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. On the Bills draft. Of course, mixed into this is all the trade with the Chiefs, which we talked a lot about on Friday. Had a weekend to think about it. How do you feel about the trade of the Chiefs now? Giving them Xavier Worthy, making sure they got the guy they wanted. We can talk about that as well because that was a juicy conversation, and I'm up for that one too. 803-0550, Allen gets his man Keon Coleman on the relationship and how much Allen should have a voice in this. We can talk about that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
As well, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Mike has not made a 100% decision on what he's doing. He's taking his time. He's feeling out. He's enjoying his family time. You know, he told me, I don't know if I can play anywhere else. I'm not 100% sure if I want to play. And so this is, you got to be all in if you're doing this. This is not for the faint of heart. It's a tough, violent game. He's obviously had some neck things that have popped up on him in his time. And I think he's just, you know, making a family decision right now. He's not come to a decision, and we don't need a decision. At some point, he says he wants to come play if we see a fit. He'd never turn down bringing a Micah Hyde back.
Brandon Bean speaking at a little fan luncheon there. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Monday.
Less room for Micah Hyde now that Cole Bishop's in the building.
Yeah. What's the big story of the draft? You know, we got the Bills and their receivers.
Atlanta.
Atlanta going Michael Penix?
Yes. I saw Dan Orlovsky defending it this morning. It's all about talent acquisition.
No, it's not.
Cousins, I saw Rich Eisen, NFL Network, you know, for being an NFL, not even partner, I mean, it is the NFL, right?
Yep,
it's the NFL
yep.
Network. Ian Rappaport doing his thing, right? He's Ian Rappaport. He's the insider. He's connected to all these teams. He's giving you the spiel of why they did it. And, like, you know, he's giving the Green Bay comparison with Jordan Love. I was watching a little bit of that on day three, and Rich Eisen just like, I can't listen to this. Like, give me their quarterback's already mad about it. Are you trying to win now or aren't you? Because pointed out with the Green Bay example, like, you don't know that the first round pick they got on Jordan Love couldn't have helped them win a Super Bowl with Rodgers, and then where would you be? Sure, you might have sacrificed your future, but you had a better shot of winning a Super Bowl with an MVP quarterback. Like, you can't be criticized for that, can you? I can't. Atlanta has got to be the story.
New England did well.
I liked their draft.
New England did well. They drafted receivers.
They drafted two receivers.
Yeah.
Polk and Javon Baker.
And Drake May.
One of my stories of the draft was there were guys on our board that really fell. Like, Troy Franklin went in round 4.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened there. He's fast, I think, and had great numbers, but no one – he goes to Denver in round 4.
Get some calls in here to Florida. James in Florida. Hey, James, good morning. Hello?
James,
are
you there?
James, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. My comparison to Coleman, I think, is more like Brandon Marshall or Anquan Boldin. And I just feel like this year we're going to have a lot of screens. We're going to have a lot of screen plays, a lot of crossing routes. And I was pretty disappointed when we did trade back. And you figure you're going to get – you could have got Coleman and Mitchell. And you need size. Mitchell with speed and Coleman. I feel like it's been a lot better of a draft, being able to get a couple guys. I mean, the trade back and not get two receivers is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I hear you.
And what was Boldin?
Marshall might not be terrible for this. I mean, that's the same type of not that fast, right? With, you know, ball in his hand skills, contested catch situations. And Marshall was, what, like a third-round pick? Fourth-round pick. He was a fourth-round pick of Denver's way back when. So, all right, it can work.
Boldin can too. Work. Like, Boldin...
Boldin's not wasn't very tall, though, right?
Well, he was just a bully. He was not that fast. And I the first thing I found on Boldin, trying to find, like, a scouting report back on him, we just did this where I read you Mike Evans, the negatives on Mike Evans, and they were similar. Doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be similar players. But... for Boldin, great athletic ability, but can't run. Fits into a power West Coast offense. These are a couple scouts about Boldin. Great quickness, run after catch, looks like Andre Rison on tape. I knew his speed was suspect. His first step quickness is better than most. Excellent hands, tough guy. Like there are parallels there.
Yeah.
But, right, he's 6 foot.
He also had 165 targets as a rookie.
Yeah.
Which would be...
He was good right away.
He was good right away.
He was fun to watch.
I mean, there are examples that it could work, right?
Yeah.
But there are more where it doesn't?
Well,
is that fair to say?
It depends. If the Bills try to make him something he's not, that'll be a problem.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
If they're going to play him at X, that could be a potential problem.
They don't really have anybody else to do it. So they might, like, how long will they try to force that if it's not working, I guess, would be a good question, too.
This is just like a report on Boldin, but the power West Coast offense. Is that what the Bills are about to be?
A power West Coast offense?
They're going to want to run the ball.
They have big
bodies.
They're
going to be yards after catch.
I mean, think of Coleman, Samuel, Kincaid, Shakir. Knox, Shakir. Really, other than Shakir, like those four are like they'll run through you, right?
Yeah. And Shakir makes guys miss.
He's been
darn good at that. It was last year.
So does Cook. I had someone ask me because I just compared them. Like, are they trying to be when they say explosive at the end of the season, and then we see their offseason moves? Is their version of explosive going to be trying to be the Niners offense? And Colton tweeted in, like, are you saying if our offense tries to be the Niners, that's a bad thing? And I don't know how to answer that. Because the Niners are great.
No.
But they don't have a Josh Allen quarterback, you know? And they also, it's tough to be them, right? Like, they have elite skilled players. They Ayuk and Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle, like, the Bills are good, but Coleman and Samuel and Kincaid and Cook are not on the level of the four guys I just mentioned.
Well, when you say that they're trying to be the Niners, is that a bad thing? Being the Niners is not a bad thing.
Correct.
Trying to be them and failing would be bad. This is where
because you have very, very, very different quarterbacks.
Yeah. And for Joe Brady, that's the thing here, right? Like, Brady is an outside guy that ran an offense somewhere else. For the Bills, let's look at this career arc. Josh Allen starts his career with Brian Daboll. They pass it all over the field, all three levels. They wing it. His passer rating on deep throws is really good. That has come back a lot the last couple seasons. They don't hit deep throws as much as they used to. Think of how many times, even though Diggs dropped one in the Kansas City playoff game, think of how many times he missed Diggs deep. Like the deep passing offense for this team has kind of dried up a bit. And from Dable, it went to Dorsey, who was a guy that was here under Brian Dable and the quarterback's coach, and he got elevated. When Brady got elevated, that kind of represents a fork in the road, but a different style. He got the job, and he's different. And he ran an offense in Carolina that had some success, some. Sean McDermott had a lot of success in Carolina, saw that offense and what that was. That was Cam Newton and who at receiver? Calvin Benjamin and Greg
Olson.
And it was Greg Olson.
Big guys.
Right? Like
yeah.
So it makes me wonder what this offense is going to look like. And the idea of trading up for a Dunze or getting Brian Thomas Jr. and then Javon Baker in a double dip or something like that, that to me, now looking back on it, feels like I'm trying to rebuild Brian Dable's offense and the Ken Dorsey offense instead of seeing that the Bills are going through a change. And I think that's what this is. We don't have to necessarily treat it like they're not investing in the offense. They did last year. They went with a guard in the second round, a tight end in the first round, as they were going to shift to 12 personnel, which lasted, what, like 7 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And Knox getting hurt was a big factor there too. But, like, I think where my misfire here is I'm chasing the offenses that they have been, and they are going in a different direction, which, of course, can succeed. And if it does, that's great. But I've been chasing that offense and thinking that they would want to chase that offense that they were. And I don't think that they're chasing it anymore.
Aren't they, though, still only one player away from being right back there? Like, they're not that far away.
I don't think so, because, again, it's about your play caller. And mm-hmm. for the number of times they put motion in and the number of times they threw screens, for better or for worse, maybe you love screens. This team did not throw screens with Brian Dable as part of the offense and
right.
Ken Dorsey. They were not throwing screens to Stephon Diggs ever. And now Samuel and Keon Coleman, like this, again, this you say Niners, I think Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes' average depth of target has consistently come down year after year after year. They go from the Tyreek Hill version of the Chiefs, and what do? They change. They're a different version of that team. So Brady is the swingman here. Like, Brady is what's going to make this thing go. And the good news, bad news is, if he's brilliant, he'll leave.
Right.
And then who runs it?
And what does that person want?
Yeah. Not to say that, you know, that's just natural in the NFL. It's how it happens.
What I mean, though, is, like, they were at their best four deep. They were four deep at all times. They don't have a number one wide receiver right now. It is worth pointing out they have yet to play a game without one. Like, they just had one, and it's been a month since they traded Diggs. But if they ever get back to that place where someone is available and they've got the ability to swing it, like, there they are. They're right back to it. Because then you would hope Coleman is at least a productive role player. Kincaid's in your offense. Shakir and Samuel are in your offense. Like, maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. Maybe I'm going to beat that to death as long as possible. But I can't. I want to believe that the better reason they're not going to bring in a number one receiver between now and the start of the season is because they're not able to, not because they don't want to.
803-0550. When we get back, I got a good tweet about a change in the NFL and how that could have impacted this decision. Coming up, Jeremy and Joe, and more of your calls. We got lots of time here on WGR. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Do you know who holds the Bears franchise record for receiving yards?
Ooh, Brandon Marshall?
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess. It is actually someone named Johnny Morris.
It's an old record, man. It goes back a long way.
Johnny Morris.
How many does he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
That's it.
In a career?
In the career, yes. Man, he played in the 50s and 60s.
Welcome
Rome.
To our world, Rome. Welcome.
Bears radio talking to Roma Dunze on the all-time Bears leading receiver being less than 6,000 yards.
5,059.
Yeah.
He'll break that.
Probably.
I feel like it'd be stunning if he didn't break that.
He doesn't have to be that good to break that if he just plays right. For them for, you know, 7 years.
If he plays through his fifth-year option.
He should.
Then he's got to average 1,000 yards.
803-0550. Get a couple more calls in here. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for being my eyes, as always, Joe and Jeremy. All right. Going into this draft and experiencing this whole thing, there's a lot of question marks for myself, as everybody else feels. I think we're looking for those exclamation points, you know. And the other thing is, yes, I would have liked to have had two picks as far as wide receiver. Now, as far as the worthy thing, you know what? Yeah, he's a speedster, all right? But is he shorthanded? And that's the one thing that I think is going to be beneficial for us as far as our receivers, as far as shorthanded. Coleman is shorthanded. Shakir is shorthanded. Kincaid is shorthanded. And the other thing is that I wanted to ask you was, do you feel that we went into this draft with a sense of urgency? With that, I'll listen.
Thank yeah, you. Urgency depends. Like, Bean talking team in transition. On the worthy thing, maybe, you know, people feel differently about it. It didn't matter what receiver the Chiefs took there. When I sit here and think about why, if I'm the Bills, I would not have done that, I don't care what receiver they took. Worthy, they could have taken Keon Coleman. I would have said, I wouldn't have done that. I just wouldn't have traded the Chiefs the opportunity to get who they want, whoever they want. Could have been Xavier Legette. Could have been a center. Just wouldn't have done it. So you have to tell me that Xavier Worthy's bad. I also don't want to do the thing where, you know, the guy they picked is not that good. The guy we picked is good. That's what everybody does in the NFL draft, right? There are red flags. There are, you know, weaknesses to all these prospects. We'll see who comes out. 803-0550. Thanks, Rob. Jeremy and Joe, more of your calls. Mike Shope going to join us as well. I wanted to get Mike on to talk about trading up, trading down. He's the champion on this station of trading down. Do the Bills get credit for it? Because they didn't add any picks. In fact, they kind of traded up while trading down, which I think is fascinating and something worth talking about as like a future approach. We'll get to that. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.